Welcome. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family, and we are so delighted that you have welcomed us into your home. We certainly would love to hear from you, so please send us an email with a question or a comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com, and check us out on Facebook. So today, we're going to be turning our hearts and minds to one of the greatest figures in Scripture, St. John the Baptist. Now, John was the voice crying out in the wilderness, preparing the way for the Lord. He was bold and humble and unwavering with his mission. And tomorrow, June 24th, we will celebrate the Feast of the Nativity of St. John the Baptist. So our question, right, encouraged us to say this. What lessons and virtues can we learn and apply from St. John the Baptist? The Nativity of St. John the Baptist is celebrated on June 24th. And if you have a special devotion to him, you might want to go to Mass tomorrow, yes, or tune into EWTN and celebrate Mass on at home with the, yes, TV. So that is beautiful. So we had a full and busy weekend.
We did indeed. We go each year to Splash Park, yes, here in the Birmingham area. You've been doing this for like 20 years or so at least, right?
A long time.
You take the grandkids each year. They just absolutely love it. I'm preparing lunch at home so that, mm-hmm, when everybody comes back, they could really eat. I think, what was the oldest grandchild that we had to go?
The oldest was Gabby, and she's 24. Okay. And then the youngest was 6. Yeah. And we missed 4 of them because the boys had football schedules and stuff. And Nate, who played football at Kennesaw, yeah, he hadn't been able to come in like 3 years. And so he was all excited.
Well, they just look forward to it so much. I mean, this has been going on for decades now. Mm-hmm. And like one of them, I guess Nate, I grabbed hold of him when he came. He's like a giant now. And I said, you get a little old for this. Yeah, but I love it, you know. So it's so good to have something set apart. I think that the father of some of these children, you know, said this is the biggest thing next to Christmas.
Right.
When Nona takes the kids to the Splash Park and to the various rides that are there, and then we have a beautiful meal when they come home. Everybody just hangs out and relaxes. They don't want their parents to come back and get them.
They don't want
others
their parents,
drive themselves,
yeah,
back home. So it's just a beautiful and a blessed time, and it really makes tremendous memories and just says, you know, we love you, we care for you.
Well, and it's just a great day to fun. Nobody has their phones. I had all their phones and I carried them all, you know, just in case an emergency came about. But, you know, they were just running and playing and being children. Yeah. Whether you were 6 or whether you're 24, it's just good to be young and play. So it was a beautiful, happy,
yes,
day.
So speaking about what lessons and virtues can we learn and apply from St. John the Baptist. St. John the Baptist, pray for us. We want you to call us 1-800-221-9460, 205-271-2980. When I think of John the Baptist, he's just a big finger, you know, that index finger. His whole life was like that finger, just pointing to Jesus Christ. While he was in the womb, the visitation of Mary and Elizabeth, and it says that the child in Elizabeth's womb was leaping. He was pointing. The Savior of the world is here. My cousin is here. Is our life like John the Baptist's life, just pointing? Everybody has a calling, has a purpose. John lived his perfectly unto his beheading. He lived it perfectly. I think Mary and John the Baptist are very similar, who may not understood everything, but she said, I'm the handmaiden of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word. She just pointed, whatever Jesus tells you to do, whatever my son tells you to do, you do that thing. John was the same way.
He was.
They were that same kind.
Both obedient and faithful.
Are we that way? Are we that focused? Are we called, Lord? I just wanted to live into the purpose and plan that you have in my life. I don't want anybody else's purpose. I just want the purpose you want for me. I want to know that. And I want to be a finger that points to your glory. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. We want to hear from you. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, the theme for today's show is what lessons and virtues can we learn and a ploy from John the Baptist. We certainly would love to hear from you, so give us a jingle, 1-800-221-9460. If you are calling and you are outside North America, you can reach us at 205-271-2980. And what, you know, John the Baptist's whole life was about preparing the way of the Lord. He was saying to you, somebody great is coming. And he didn't even live to see the fulfillment of Jesus. But he knew he had a mission.
Yeah.
He accepted his mission. He knew his purpose. And he was going to be faithful to his purpose until his dying breath. And he had to call out people. He had to call out the king and his wife, and it was his brother's wife.
Herod
and he was
Antipas,
saying, you're in sin, and you have to repent. You have to prepare the way of the Lord. And what are we doing? Are we repenting in our own lives? Are we shoring up our lives to everything that is good and true and beautiful? What ways about us? What vices? What things inside of us? Just start here first. That need to be changed, that need to be delivered, that need to make way for Jesus. And so always in this journey, we want more of Jesus and less of you. And the beauty of that, and the witness and the power and the courage, the fortitude that it took John, you know, people thought he was out of his mind. You know, he lived out in the desert, he ate locusts, he wore camel hair. I'm sure he was kind of different looking, you know, and he comes into to the towns and villages and he's saying, repent, prepare the way of the Lord. And his message is hard, but he didn't shrink back from his message.
Right.
He still kept saying his message with the great hope that people would be saved, because he knew one was greater coming, and he was greater than me. One's greater coming, it's not me. And people were following John and they loved John. And he was like, no, it's not me. There's another one coming.
You often quote that, he must become greater and greater. I must become less and less. That's something we all need to apply in our lives. That he's the focus. I didn't say that I was the Christ, John said. I'm just pointing to the Christ. I'm not him. And then he finally comes and his disciples are with him. John, I guess it's Peter and John. John was with John the Baptist. And when John sees Jesus, what does he say? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I mean, what a statement the first time that was said, that he's the Passover Lamb. He's the sacrificial Lamb. He's the one who atones. He's going to atone for our sin. The blood's going to be shed. And as a matter of fact, we will eat the body and blood of Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. And we say that at Mass, don't we? The priest holds up, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those invited to the supper of the Lamb. And ponder that, the reality of that, the body, blood, soul, and divinity being there. You're invited, as it says in Revelation, to the marriage supper of the Lamb. The Lamb not only dies for you, the Lamb wants to marry you. It's his marital supper. What a faith. And John the Baptist was blazing that trail. He had that revelation. He's the Lamb of God. That's why Jesus was going during the Passover and everything else. That he got that. He knew that. And he was bold about it and courageous about it. We have to do that for the salvation of souls.
Right. And John was a gift to Elizabeth and Zechariah, right? I mean,
yeah,
she was
old.
Barren and they didn't think they could conceive a child. But God had a plan. And God was going to send John to this beautiful couple. And when John first met Jesus in his womb, and that's the second joyful mystery, right? Where Jesus comes and Mary and John and Elizabeth, and they all meet, and John leaps and knows, and Elizabeth gives that great exclamation, who am I that you should come to me, the mother of my Lord. Right? And she sees that and they know that and they have this encounter. And then yet in another encounter, John is just proclaiming who Jesus is. It's like, I know him. I know his purpose. And he is the one who's going to take away the sins of the world. I'm telling you to repent of your sins and prepare the way. He's the way. Yeah. He is it. And so that beautiful, if we could just enter into everything that is so good and true and beautiful, and how God wants to aid us and assist us, that you and I have the opportunity to be as holy as we want to be in this Catholic Church. Here's a quote from Pope St. John Paul about John the Baptist. He said, "Look today to John the Baptist, an enduring model of fidelity to God and his law. John prepared the way for Christ by the testimony of his word and his life. Imitate him with docile and trusting generosity." Yeah. And this is Pope St. John Paul II on the solemnity of the Nativity of St. John the Baptist.
Which is tomorrow.
Which is tomorrow.
We're speaking about St. John the Baptist, his nativity, his life. Not only that we just be like inspired, but St. John, pray for me. I want those virtues of courage and of boldness and of fidelity till the end. Would you pray for me in the midst of what God's calling me to be about? He's not calling you to be John the Baptist, to do what John was doing for Jesus at that time, but he is calling us to grow in holiness and boldness and to prepare the way of the Lord. If we believe the Lord is coming, we should act like the Lord's coming.
Right.
And we should act like there is a heaven and there is a hell. And like, you know, there's that saying, you know, I'd rather go to heaven with my head cut off than to go to hell with my head on. You get it? And that's what John was about.
Cost what it might.
In this place, I'm not going to compromise the sanctity of marriage.
Right.
And he said to Herod Antipas, you know, it's unlawful for you to have your brother's wife. This is not right. And he said, because he wants to prepare him. He said, the Lord is coming. Get ready. Live like the Lord's coming. You're going to be face to face with him. And so we've got to get to that place. We could say it. John did it. But we don't want to compromise anything, even if it means the loss of our life, that we would still declare to our children and to our grandchildren and to others in a beautiful, loving way as best we can. This is the way, walk in it. The Lord wants to lead you who are blind into a right pathway. So it's not just like we get nice feelings or sentimentality about Jesus Christ and about John the Baptist. We need to live the life.
And the Word of God tells us that the road to holiness and the road to heaven, it's narrow. Broad is the path. And so how many people in our lives that we know, in our little sphere of influence, where we need to speak the truth in boldness to? Maybe you have children that are living together or grandchildren that are living together and they're compromising their faith and nobody wants to say anything because we don't know, nobody wants to hurt anybody's feelings. And well, if John did that, it wouldn't have been who John was. We have to be that person. And it doesn't mean that you're judgmental and you're critical. You're just trying to speak words of life and love because you know God has a better plan. And so there's a way to do that, and do that with great love and compassion, but speak the truth in love. The problem is none of us have courage. We don't have fortitude. We don't have integrity in our own lives to speak into other people's lives. It's like, but the world is going to hell in a New York minute. We have to speak the truth in life. We have to live the truth in life. We have to cry out, say, St. John the Baptist, will you pray for me that I too would be bold, that I would be courageous, that I would be full of love? What do you love? I want to love you to heaven. I'm concerned about your eternal damnation, where you're going. Our ways, our choices, our values, our beliefs, they're not bringing me life. And so we have to speak words of life and love and truth and holiness.
We have a comment here. His faithfulness to our Lord Jesus Christ as he went announcing his ministry. He was a humble servant. One who would shout in the desert, "Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand." Maria from Facebook. Mm-hmm. And so we have to hear the word. We need those of us who are trying to be obedient to the Lord. Conversion is an ongoing thing in our lives. Mm-hmm. And we believe that we must persevere till the end.
To the end.
Just because we've been faithful here. And Jesus calls his disciples, his apostles, again and again. You know, follow me, follow me. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of like, how many times are you going to ask us to follow you? Because you have to follow me now.
Right.
You followed me then, and that's wonderful. You passed that test. But it's again and again. Your life changes. Things happen. Your age, your health, all sorts of things.
There'll always be a crossroads.
Yeah.
Right? And there's always an intersection. And it's going to be, one will bring life and one will bring death. And we always have to choose life, no matter how hard it is. And say, well, this is going to hurt. This is going to break relationship. But you have to be a witness to the end, because your family, your people, they're watching to saying, how much does she love God? How much does he love God? Cost what it might, we have to be those people. And here's another comment. It says, his sacrifice, his humility, his faith, his love for God, his willingness to reject worldliness completely so as to fully embrace his unique and incredible purpose, his exemplary suffering, and his martyrdom. And this is from Savannah at Facebook.
I mean, that what that person just said, Savannah, I mean, that's today.
Yes.
His time is like our time. And to be faithful to the end. The Word of God says, don't be conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to it, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. John would not conform to the schematic plan of the devil, the world, and the flesh. And it's all over us. I said, I'm not going to fit into that mold. Cost what it might, come what may, I'm going to follow you, Jesus Christ. St. John the Baptist, pray for us that we might have boldness and courage, and that we might glimpse ultimately the divine victory. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, Pope Leo XIV addressed the world with a message of peace this weekend and celebrated the Feast of Corpus Christi, as millions of other Catholics did around the world. And to give us her report, Joan, we're going to go straight to Rome to tell us of all the recent events, and we watched it on EWTN. Joan?
Well, greetings, dear Jim and Joy, from a very hot, almost torrid Rome. Lots of news here over the weekend, but I really want to begin with Pope Leo's words at the Angelus on Sunday. He was referring to the alarming news coming from the Middle East, especially Iran. And he spoke only hours after U.S. bombers had struck nuclear sites in Iran, while Iran and Israel for weeks have been trading strikes on each other's territory. Now, Leo said, today more than ever, humanity cries out and pleads for peace, a cry that demands responsibility and reason and must not be drowned out by the war of weapons or by rhetorical words that incite conflict. I urge the international community to take up its moral responsibility to stop the tragedy of war before it becomes an irreparable abyss. He said, war does not solve problems. On the contrary, it amplifies them, and it causes deep wounds in the history of people, wounds that take generations to heal. He said, no military victory can ever compensate for a mother's pain, a child's fear, or a stolen future. So, a powerful admonishment from Pope Leo, as well as a plea for peace. Now, later on Sunday, again, a very hot day in Rome, it was the Feast of Corpus Christi, the solemnity, and at 5 p.m. Rome time, the Holy Father said Mass on the square in front of St. John Lateran Basilica. And in his homily, quoting his beloved St. Augustine, he said, Christ is truly bread that restores and does not run short, bread that can be eaten but not exhausted. The Eucharist, in fact, is the real, true, substantial presence of the Savior who transforms bread into himself and transfers bread to us to become himself. Living in life-giving Corpus Domini makes us, the Church herself, the body of the Lord. Now, interestingly enough, inside St. John Lateran Basilica, to the left of the papal altar, is the Chapel of the Blessed Sacrament. And inside this is a relic, it is said, a relic, a piece of the wood of the table on which the apostles and Jesus celebrated the Eucharist on Holy Thursday, of course. Now, following Mass, Pope Leo processed under a canopy with a huge monstrance with the Blessed Sacrament, and he went the full length of Via Marilana from St. John Lateran Basilica to St. Mary Major Basilica, and that's just about under a mile. Processing with him were cardinals, bishops, priests, men and women, religious, and perhaps 20 or so thousand faithful lining these streets. If you hear a little music, we have a group of pilgrims passing by. In any event, after the Pope arrived, walking that full mile at St. Mary Major, where he gave the Eucharistic blessing. And that was the big event at the end of the day, but it was followed by, as I said, tens of thousands of people. And by the way, the last Pope to walk that full distance was Pope Francis. He did it only once in 2013, and in subsequent years, he was always seen directly at St. Mary Major. So lots of news this weekend, a beautiful, moving solemnity. On that note, back to you. Stay cool.
Joan, thanks so much for that wonderful report and you speaking about the Holy Father calling the world and all of us to the way of peace. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ is our peace. May we look to him as our peace. Be sure to join us on Wednesday when we have author and certified Creighton practitioner Mary Bruno on the show to speak with us about her book, Holding Space for Joy and the Challenges of Living with Infertility. And Joy, you were saying, who is the special friend of John the Baptist? I was mentioning, who was I saying? It was Andrew, who got Peter and said, John is telling us to follow this Jesus. It wasn't John, so anyway, I had to make that straight. You want peace? May the world behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sin of the world. That's what John the Baptist said. Behold him. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Jesus Christ, grant us peace throughout this world, in the church, and in our hearts. So God bless you. God bless all your loved ones. Keep it on EWTN. Bye now.